Welcome, everybody, to a very exciting new podcast series, The Pride Has Spoken. My name is Grace Leader, and I'm excited to be with you today. This new podcast series, it's Pride Month. Hopefully, you're listening to this the day it comes out. If not, that's okay. It's June 1st. I'll quickly introduce myself, Grace Leader, she, her, a podcaster here on Rob as a Podcast, a longtime Survivor fan. But let me quickly throw it to the rest of our panel that we have here. Evie, would you like to introduce yourself?
Yes. Thanks, Grace. Yeah. This is Evie from Survivor 41. I use they, them pronouns. And I'm so excited to be a part of this project.
Yeah, and I guess I might as well just jump in here as the third person here. I'm Matt Scott. I use he, him pronouns. I am a podcaster in RHAP and just especially as a young Black queer person, so excited to be part of this project and be here with both of you.
Yeah, I'm so excited. I'm so excited to be here with the two of you. I'm so excited for people to get to listen to what we're putting together. Evie, this started because I was listening to you on a Rob feedback show, and you were like, you talked about you listening to Evolution of Strategy, and you're like, but I want like a queer feminist version of the Evolution of Strategy. So I immediately slid into your DMs. Hi. I think we had chatted already, but that, you know, yes. So it sounds less weird. But I was like, let's do something like that. Pride Month is coming up. Let's do something. I think Survivor, you know, we've been talking about what this project is going to be and how Survivor has such a, since the first season, such a queer history. First winner of this show is a gay man. And I feel like, you know, being part of this Rob as a Podcast community, there are so many LGBTQIA fans. And there's been, you know, for me, watch it, you know, I've looked back at a lot of queer media and there's so, you know, every season, although we could talk about like, you know, stereotypes and things like that, there's been queer representation on almost every season of Survivor. So I reached out to you and we're like, let's do this. We loop Matt in. And now we're here.
Yeah, it's really amazing. And I think, the reason why I was, you know, had been the reason why I brought that up on my interview with Rob and why this idea like really like struck me so much is because I think, as you said, there have been so many LGBTQIA players on Survivor, but that's hasn't been so much of the ecosystem of Survivor discussion, or like, you know, that's not the mainstream analysis of Survivor is not, you know, from that lens. And I was just very excited at the idea of intentionally focusing on that element of Survivor. And obviously being a queer Survivor player myself, like I have gotten to talk to so many of the other members of the community who have played Survivor. And it's just been, it's just so different and special to talk to someone that has also had that experience. And so I really wanted to, it makes me so excited that we get to present these conversations where people can get to hear about that. Cause like, as you said, there are so many queer and LGBTQIA plus Survivor fans. And I feel like, so this is both to me, like a celebration of the Survivor players, but also the Survivor fans. And like, I'm really excited to get to, have this as like an offering to the community and hopefully a good lesson, you know?
Yeah. And I'd even just say that I love that word celebration in all of this, because we all know and we all recognize that while there has been representation, there have been times where it's been better than others. Now, I would say, is a time where it's better than other times in Survivor. And so I think it's so helpful for us to kind of go back and talk with people about their representation, about their stories, about kind of how they looked at things then, their experience then, but also now. And I mean, I couldn't think of a better person to have those conversations with Survivor players and kind of really serve at that pivot point between the fandom and the players than you, Evie. And so I'm excited, and I hope the listeners are excited to hear this conversation and these conversations that we have over the course of this month, because this Pride Month is going to be a celebration, but it's going to be a Survivor celebration, which is even better for all of us, I guess.
Yes. And I think like something that comes up throughout like the conversations that I've been having with people is, you know, I think, yeah, here in this, we are celebrating the people and mm-hmm. their experiences. And that also doesn't mean that their experiences have all been positive at all. Right. And like, you know, as you said, there's been also bad, I don't want to say bad representation, but bad experiences of queer people on the show. And that's been, yeah, that ultimately does lead to bad representation, but not necessarily, I'm trying to remove, not do that to the fault of the individuals, right? But maybe more kind of the show. So I'm excited to get to have people that even if they didn't love their Survivor experience, but get to talk to them as a human and as a person who we all love. And I think everybody that we're talking to in this series, and hopefully you'll get to hear the voices of so many Survivor players throughout this, are people that we all love. Just very excited.
And like one thing I would underscore even is just like the piece that you mentioned of these are humans. They mm-hmm. all are linked by the fact that they're in this queer world and queer community. But there is so much that each person brings that's different in their mm-hmm. identities and experiences. And so as people listen, hopefully they hear the queerness, but they also hear just those other real stories that come through.
There's one interview we've done, and I'm not going to reveal who it is, but I think it's the gayest thing that's ever going to be Rob is a podcast.
Rob is a podcast out of context. Get ready.
Make some drafts if you need. I think the thing that's been really fun about the conversations, what I'm excited about, obviously, I think like having you do the interviews, Ebby, means that there's a, you know, I think we're getting bits and pieces of information that, you know, Matt and I have not been out on the island yet. Just kidding. I've never been on Survivor.
I was like, when are we going?
But that like these pieces of information that come out, and I hope that for getting to listen in as, you know, a trans person, a queer person, it's been like, oh yes, Survivor is this, you know, microcosm of society. In a way, and there's ways in which when you're talking about how we are celebrating survivors, and we all love the show Survivor. You applied, you went and played. Matt, you and I like, you know, podcast a bunch about this show that we really love. We just, you know, I think we owe a lot to the Survivor diversity campaign that like this last few seasons of Survivor have had such a tremendous amount of LGBTQ representation. Like that comes from, that diversity campaign, that initiative that was put together to, I think that's a result of that of, and you know, that's true to life as well, a lot of queer, you know, progression, is owed a lot to, you know, Black trans women specifically. It's exciting, but I think there's still more work to do and stuff we want to see in terms of how LGBTQ people, how their stories are represented on the show, and just the way in which we navigate life, unfortunately, is just different than a cis straight person. It's been interesting to hear through these conversations, like as a queer person, to be like, oh, that totally reflects, like, you know, I wasn't on this show that was watched by millions of people, but, you know, in terms of some of these issues that people are going through, it's like, yeah, that's so relatable that, like, yeah, and I can't believe you had to go through that on Survivor as well. And I hope that, you know, folks who are listening to this who are straight, who would fall into the ally category, you know, will sort of, you know, see that, it's challenging to be like an LGBTQ person and these, you know, all these people who have gone on the show and that you had conversations with, willing to like share their story and have like gone through the process of the show and what their experience has been. And that it means a lot for, like, I think us as Survivor fans, to have seen, you know, these people on the show and what their story means to us personally. I think it will be really exciting to hear these conversations for people.
Yeah. Yeah. And it's, I think what's going to be like great is just diving in. I'm excited for us to even introduce our first conversation because, I don't even know where to start. Grace, Ebby, I don't, like, what do you want to say?
Well, I want to say that we are absolutely honored and blessed that the first conversation that we're able to present here is with the one, the only Bryce Isaiah, truly, like truly an icon of the queer survivor community. And I feel so lucky that he took the time to talk with me, because I think he's someone who definitely had a complicated experience on the show. And I think what is so beautiful and special about Bryce is that he had this experience that I think, as you'll hear, listening, was definitely a mixed bag for him. But over the time since then, he's really like made so much out of that experience and gone on to do all these amazing things, and, you know, went from being the third boot in a season to being like this huge figure in the Robinson podcast broader survivor community.
Yeah.
And was in a huge part of the diversity initiative as well. So I think it's just so special that he both like had this experience, made so much out of it for him personally, and then like worked so hard to like make it better for other people. And I just think that is a beautiful story to open the Pride Has Spoken series with.
Go ahead.
I love it, and like we can't even wait to talk about Bryce, because there's so much to say. And one thing I would just jump in and say is like Bryce is someone who, even I know in the past talking about the Survivor Diversity campaign, always has stressed how every time he's in those rooms, while, you know, he might be in a group of Black survivor players, former survivor players, he always proudly wore his identity as a Black gay man. And he always does that with the Purple Pants podcast, bringing in his identities. And it's even inspired me personally in all sorts of spaces I'm in to always, you know, recognize myself as a young Black queer man and just to bring that in. And so Bryce has had that impact. But I think it's incredible, because there's so much that we could learn from his journey. And like you were saying, Evie, there's this thing where, you know, you're the third boot, and that doesn't feel great at times. I was actually having a conversation with T-Bird about a bunch of things for Pod Friends, an episode coming out this coming Sunday.
Ooh, what a tease. You get a Pod Friends tease.
Look, yeah, Pod Friends tease, right?
But the Pride Has Spoken is dropping news. This is great.
Yeah, look at that. But like T-Bird was talking about Bryce and just like this outsized impact that he's been able to have in the community. And what a way to start this episode, Grace, right?
Yeah. I mean, Bryce is the first Black gay man in the history of Survivor.
Yeah.
And unfortunately, like, does not spend a ton of time on the show. But I think, like, yeah, in terms of like people we want to celebrate, I think Bryce is the best person to be able to kick this series off, because Bryce was so memorable in the short amount of time we get to see, and you know, and it immediately is representation for people who had never seen themselves on the show before, and then is just so embedded in our community, and you know what Bryce I think provides, just like sort of this like shining purple light over the Rob as a podcast community. I think it's gonna be a great conversation, and yeah, I'm excited that Bryce is gonna kick things off with you, Evie.
I am obsessed with the image of Bryce as a shining purple light on the community, and that's amazing.
A couple of things I want to highlight as joking. So if you want to chat with us about the series, you can use the hashtag The Pride Has Spoken, and we'll be checking Twitter for that. We'd love to hear what you have to say about this series. I would be particularly interested in, you know, I think Survivor does have this incredible, like, you know, LGBTQ IA community. And even if you're not part of that community, I'd love to hear from you as well. But why does the show like resonate with you, and who you want to celebrate? Shout out give some love to our LGBTQ IA plus survivors. You know, perhaps maybe some of them will even end up, you'll hear their lovely voices on the podcast. Mm-hmm. But another way you could support the LGBTQIA community, whether you're a part of it or not, is we have this lovely logo that I'm going to shout out Tricky, who created the Pride Has Spoken logo. And we thought, let's slap it on some merch. Let's get some t-shirts or a mug, and we'll donate the proceeds to a charity. So, Matt, do you want to shout out the charity that we're gonna donate the proceeds to?
Sure. So we're going to donate the proceeds to a great charity called Gender Benders, because we were really thinking about, like, there are so many incredible organizations, but we really want to support an organization where we feel like there could be a big impact. And so Gender Benders is an organization that currently provides a range of advocacy, education, support services for just really for this community, with a focus on the trans community and just like a number of identities and groups that are typically not supported and represented. And so one of the things that we really love about their work is, and in the overlap with Survivor, is that they actually have a camp called Camp GB, Camp Gender Benders. And it is, you know, I don't know how much it's actually like Survivor, but there's definitely that overlap in that sense. And they do a lot of great work holding training and leadership development programs, HIV prevention and intervention programs, and support services online, and do a lot of that work for folks in the southern U.S. So in South Carolina, North Carolina, Alabama, Georgia, Louisiana, Mississippi, Tennessee, and they're an organization who will definitely feel the impact of the support. So number one, love the shirt in general. So I hope that you want to get it anyway, but I hope that, you know, maybe you'll get a couple shirts, you'll buy a few for your friends. Maybe they're baby sizes. You could also order, just get them for everybody and share it around, because the proceeds will definitely go to a great, great cause.
Yeah. I mean, there is so much, in the South specifically, so the United States, there is unfortunately a lot of anti-trans legislation happening at the moment, whether it's bathroom bills or trying to keep trans kids out of sports.
Or prosecute parents for seeking health care for their trans children.
Don't say gay bills. Yes. There are just so many levels to it, right?
Yeah. So that's where, at this moment, we felt like, doing something related to, some trans, supporting a trans organization, I think, makes a lot of sense. Anything else we should say before you chat with Bryce?
I guess just the last thing, I would just really want to thank, the Podfather himself, Rob, who was so down for us to do this. I think it's just, it's a testament to this amazing community, this RHAP community that exists, that like it was like that there are so many like LGBTQIA+ survivor podcasters, and like bringing this community like knows we know that we exist, and partially that is because of this community. And so thank you to Rob for supporting this and facilitating it and helping us get the shirts going and everything. So it's a special, special thing.
Yeah. Yeah. And just to like piggyback on that, I think that, Rob, in my experiences, especially, and I think for all of us, like we're all three of us are advocates and people who care about these issues, but we also love these shows and love like the goofiness and fun parts of it. And I just love that RHAP is not only a space for the fun, funny, wild, weird, whimsical conversations, but also for like these really important conversations. And so we mentioned like supporting, buying the shirt and in that way supporting Gender Benders. But one thing I'd also mention, just putting it out there, is because it's the start of the month. If you want to support RHAP, you could become an RHAP patron by going to robhasawebsite.com/Patreon, I believe, or patreon.com/RHAP or something to that effect.
I think both work.
I don't even off the top, just because I'm a proud patron and proud to be part of this community. And, it's amazing that we get to do this. So thank you, Rob. And thanks, Grace and Evie, actually, for like also being able to create this. And I'm happy I could be part of this.
We can't keep saying that. You're good. I mean, the spoiler for the Bryce interview, but a lot of it is just kind of being Bryce and Evie acknowledging each other and celebrating each other. So I feel like if we get stuck in this loop with the three of us, I know. But we'll have plenty more time to do that before the end of the month. So, let's kick it over to Evie, your interview with Bryce.
Support for this podcast and the following message come from Corient. Corient provides wealth management services centered around you. They focus on exceeding your expectations and simplifying your life. Corient has been helping high achievers just like you enjoy their lives more fully, preserve their wealth, and provide for the people, causes, and communities they care about. As one of the largest integrated fee-only registered investment advisors in the U.S., Corient has deeply experienced teams in 23 strategic locations. Corient has extensive knowledge spanning the full spectrum of planning, investing, lending, and money management disciplines. Leverage Corient's exclusive network of experts to craft custom solutions designed to help you reach your financial goals, no matter how complex they may be. Real wealth requires real solutions. For more information, connect with a wealth advisor today at Corient.com. That's Corient.com. Corient.com.
You know how to book flights and hotels. All you're missing is a tool to plan the travel experiences you'll have once you arrive. That's why you need Viator. Book guided tours, activities, excursions, and more in one place to make your trip truly unforgettable. Viator has over 300,000 travel experiences to choose from. Everything from simple tours to extreme adventures and all the niche, interesting stuff in between. So you can plan something that everyone you're traveling with will enjoy. Real traveler reviews give the inside scoop from people who've already been on the experiences you're considering, so you can plan with confidence. Free cancellation helps you plan for the unexpected, and 24/7 customer support means you can travel worry-free. Download the Viator app now and use code Viator10 for 10% off your first booking in the app. Find travel experiences for you. Do more with Viator.
It is my absolute honor to welcome a man who is clearly in his butterfly phase and just flying around eating plants and being the wonderful purple pants baby boy that we all know and love. Bryce Isaiah, thank you so much for being here.
Oh my God, of course. Thank you, Evie, for having me. It's truly an honor. Anytime I get to talk with you, sign me up.
You're so kind. You're so kind. But really, I mean, you know, this series, it's all about celebrating LGBTQIA plus players of Survivor and discussing that experience. And when we were putting it together, it was like, well, of course, I need to talk to Bryce. Like, when I think about people that I really want to celebrate and talk to and hear about their experience, like, you're absolutely at the top of the list. And I think you and I have gotten to talk a bit. I had the pleasure of being on the Purple Pants pod. But, you know, there's always so much going on with the active season of Survivor that there's only so much we could actually talk about. So I'm, like, really excited to get into it here, you know?
Yes, I'm excited too. Yeah, I think that there's a vast world that doesn't really get talked about, especially like when you talk about Survivor and LGBTQ plus community. And I'm always one to lend my voice, my thoughts to this topic because it is so near and dear to my heart because it is in my DNA. So I'm so excited to be here.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. I was thinking as I was, you know, reflecting, and I did a little bit of homework. I rewatched a couple episodes of Kageyan.
You only gotta watch a couple.
There weren't that many episodes I had to watch. But...
See, Abby, you've been friends with Wendell too long. Okay, y'all are teaming up.
No, but it was honestly so nice to watch it, thinking like I'm gonna talk to Bryce, and I have a lot of questions about that time for you and everything. But I was thinking I would love to like start a little bit before that and talk about like you deciding to be on the show and casting and all that. And like, how much for you was your identity of like being a Black gay man? How much of that was part of, you know, what was that like, I want to do the show because I want to like put this identity on TV. Was this like, that's a, you know, I'll have to deal with this. You know what I mean? Kind of how were you thinking about it in your life and like in the deciding to be on Survivor? Period,
I think
you know?
I wanted to be on Survivor because I fell in love with it. I started watching Survivor when I was in college, and it used to come on Thursday nights. Let me age myself a little bit. But it used to come on Thursday, and my cousin Samir loved the show. And he was like, you got to get into it. And so when I, like my freshman year in college, we watched it, and I was just like, oh my God. And I was like obsessed with the most random parts about it. Like I was obsessed with the beginning, tribe life, like, you know, who's cooking, how do they like interact, let alone the actual playing the game. Like I just was obsessed with that. And it really just became a thing for me. And very like two seasons in, I'm just like, there isn't a lot of like LGBTQ plus representation. And like, you know, I don't see anyone like myself on there. So that wasn't the reason that I applied. I applied because I loved the game. And, you know, in my very short video that I sent in, I just was like, you've never seen a player like me. I would love to play. And that was really my thought process going into it. I don't think at the time I was like aware of everything. Being a Black gay man was a huge part of me going into Survivor. And I ultimately think it is the reason why I went home so early, because I had these things in my head that I was like, you know, and at the time there was only like another LGBTQ plus member that was a man that I could think of was Colton. And I was like, I don't want to be anything like the Colton edit. I don't want to be anything like the Colton edit. And I wasn't even aware when I filmed that I was like the first Black gay man, openly gay man to play. And I just remember I did not want to be like Colton. And so what you did not get to see a lot on my season is that I was the Rocks Roy of my tribe. Like I was 1,000% into helping build the shelter. I was 1,000% the caretaker. I was cooking rice every day. I was getting water for everybody. I wanted to be seen as an asset. Right. And when I think back and I reflect on my time, that ultimately was the like, what I feel like, because I can't speak for the other people, but ultimately I feel like that is what ended my game or why I was such a huge target, because I feel like men like Jeremiah and LJ had a one type mind of what a gay man should be. And here I am out here, you know, standing them up essentially. And, you know, I think that that was something for them that was just like, oh no, we got to get him out. He's such a huge target. And, that's just my perspective of it. But I was very aware that I was Black and I was gay, and that was constantly going through my mind while I was on the island.
Right. Well, that's so interesting. I was going to ask you like who was on your mind in terms of like, was there anyone in terms of like other past LGBTQIA players? And the idea that the person on your mind was Colton, like I could just so see how that would be just so hard to be holding. Like, I think, something I think in general when you're playing is it's so hard. It's so like, I always tell people like, you have to like play, you know, I always, you know, in the like whatever month since I did it, like you know, but it's like, I feel like you have to play as yourself, because if you're trying to hold stuff back, it just like, it will come off as like inauthentic or like, you know what I mean? It's just too much for your brain to do while you're playing this like wild, wild, complicated game. And so the fact that you're holding the burden both of like, of your identity and being the only person like you on the show, apparently in the history of the show. But that you're also being like, both here's who I am and here's who I don't want to be. Like, I don't want to be Colton. Don't let me be Colton. Like, that just seems like also just so much for you to be holding.
Yeah, a lot. And I'm a Black man. And there, I did not want to be aggressive. I did not want to be, you know, all the things that are not me. And just like you said, I was having this conversation the other day with Amon after we recorded, you know, the Casual Tea on the Purple Pants podcast. And I was just saying to him, like, how much I just like, I love him. I love the fact that we're getting to be this friendship. And he randomly was like, well, I never really asked you about Survivor. And we had this 2-hour conversation after we recorded the podcast, and I was telling him how I felt as though I was like, of course they got my one liners in and you know, this and that, but I truly felt like I was not myself. I tried to stay away from confrontation. I was out there being this provider, which I am 1,000%. However, I feel like I turned it up a little bit because I was like, I don't want them to see. But had I just been myself, and going out there, and when I saw stuff that I didn't like, been like, hey, what's going? Like, you know, that it really could have shook a lot of things up. And it sucks for me. And I oftentimes don't like to talk about Kagyan because there is still an emotional burden for me that is there. I choose not to allow myself to exist in that space because I believe that I was on there for a reason. And the things that have come out of that have been so amazing for me. And I never want to be like the bitter person, but there are a lot of things that bother me about Kagyan, and just, you know, just and nothing to the people because it was a ways away. But, you know, I felt as though on my time there, the closest person that I was really with on my season was Alexis, not even Morgan. It was Alexis. Like, Alexis and I would crack up from morning to night. We were so close.
Not on the show at all.
Like, we would literally be in tears. Like, we would, like, we had this, like, imitation of Jeremiah, and then we would, like, go up to Jeremiah and be like, well, whose imitation of you is better? And, like, it was just hilarious. And it saddened me because I felt like, here I am doing so much. And ultimately, I really felt like, you know, Alexis went with LJ because LJ was a man, and that she could see him in that role. But I don't feel as though she could see me in that role, although I am doing everything that a quote unquote man would do. I am stoking the fire. I am, you know, keeping the energy up of the tribe. And, you know, she just in her realm at that point in time could not see, you know, me in that role, because, you know, she wanted to go out there and play a flirty girl role.
Right.
And how does a flirty girl role interject with this openly gay black? Like, you know, it just the things just didn't collide for us. And it makes me sad when I think about it, because it just is like, I always say that Kagyan at that time, and actually to this time in my life, it's just a representation of my life. Like, I feel like I am always good enough to like be on the show when I need to be grateful for it. However, I am just not good enough to be, you know, and I just, there is just so many things in my life that I feel like are these opportunities that come to me that I have to just be so grateful for. But at the same time, it's just like, they box me in, and I just have to sit there and be grateful. And a lot plays into, you know, I feel like of who I am, a black gay man. And yeah, I just feel like Kagyan, in my opinion, is just kind of like the quintessential theme of my life. Like, it's like, oh, you got on the show, you better be so grateful. But then it's just like, look how I landed. And I still just make the best of it. And I don't think at times I acknowledge the hurt that I experienced from the show.
And I feel like that's so, it's so representative of so many people's experience with marginalized identities, right? Where it's like, this idea of you have to be grateful to be there, and then, but also have to be constantly like fighting for the space. Like, you know what I mean? Or like feeling like you like really justify you being there because it like, like, I mean, like we talked about this on the Purple Pants podcast. Like, I'm the only one in my work that uses like not like that uses like they them pronouns or and then like that, and it's like I feel like I have to contain it like more at work, you know what I mean? This is just like the experience that we all I think have in our day-to-day lives, and it's just like such a shame that it was so much a part of your survivor experience. And so something I want to But no, on this, as I was watching Kagyan yesterday, like something that I really, like, and everything that you're saying here about how you were like this big provider and everything like that, I feel like they really didn't show that at all. And I feel like I was thinking about how this idea that you were on the beauty tribe, like I feel like of all the tribes, like in the history of Survivor, like they really went, no, first of all, you're beautiful. That's not where I'm going. I'm
No, but I agree.
I feel like, you know, they had this narrative, I feel like. Like, it was very much that this was supposed to be hot girls flirting with guys to get them to do what they want. And, like, that's so set up in the framing of the beauty tribe. I can imagine that the types of questions that everyone is getting from the producers relate to that. Like you said, how maybe Alexis like had the strategy, like who knows whether she had that going in or whether that was so like, oh, you're on the beauty tribe. Like, how are you going to use your beauty in like the obvious way in like the hetero world is like, oh, I'm going to use it to get the guy to do my thing. And so it made it, I feel like potentially both that was in all the players' heads, but then also in terms of the editing and the storyline, it's almost like they didn't know where to put you.
Right. They 1000% did not know how to edit, how, where to be. And a lot of the times when I would go for my walks and my confessionals, the producers would be like, so who are you more attracted to, LJ or Jeremiah? And I refused to answer them because I was like, nope, that's not the narrative that you are going to paint me in. Mm-hmm. And you know how it is when you're on the show, you have to answer the question within the question. And I would just be like, LJ and Jeremiah are like my brothers. And that's where I see them. But it was a little disheartening that like every time I went for a walk, it would be like, oh, well, who do you think is the hotter one? And I'm just like, that's not really like why I'm here, and that's not the narrative that I want to go down. I don't want to like be out here being this thirsty this thirsty gay, like, oh, I'm Thessalia, like, you know, like, no, that's not what I am. I'm trying to give. And yeah, I think a part of the diversity initiative that I was a part of was that, like, you know, which people think that all we just wanted was to just get more Black people on the screen. No, we wanted more people of color. We wanted more diversity. And to be able to tell a story, you need to have to know a story. So it's not just like in front of the camera, it's behind the camera as well. And I think, you know, with your season, they did an excellent job of being able to tell the whole picture of the person that is. And I think where my season and seasons after mine's for a long time, you don't know the person. You don't, you know, they don't know how to tell the story. They're only just telling the story, unfortunately, from a cisgender, heterosexual white man's perspective as to where you should fit in.
Right. No, absolutely. And like, I feel like there was a, you had a line in the show of like, they expect me to be the fourth girl, referring to the guys, I guess, on your tribe. And it's like probably of the players and the producers and like all that. It's like, you're not the fourth girl. You're Bryce. You're your own person and you're a Black gay man. And like, they just didn't have that built into their vision of, you know, what it is. And it's making me think, I mean, there's been, I feel like, a lot of talk of now that season 41 and season 42 are over, like, are we going to go back to themes? And like, think about how like limiting that theme was, right? And in like in terms of allowing time in, as you said, in the current seasons where you can have these like bigger stories, right?
Yeah, but so I am a fan of the Survivor, and I do like the themes. I think that beauty is in the eyes of the beholder.
Yeah.
So I think that if they were to do something like this again, it could be, why not have on the Bronze tribe a trans person, because they are a strong individual, right? Like, you know what I mean? Like, I think that the to encompass it could be great, but I think that not in the lens that they are thinking of. And then I know you should try to keep this short, but
I don't know, please,
why was I on the beauty tribe? You know, like, I just, for me, it's just like interesting. Like, why was I picked to be on the beautiful tribe? Why was I not picked to be on the Brawn tribe? Why was I not picked to be on the Brain tribe? And I always tell this a story, which I hate to disappoint people, but Purple Pants was not my choice. Okay.
my God.
They gave us a theme.
Right.
And they were like, you know, blue, purple, gray. And so, you know, I'm going out swiping my credit card. I got these, you know, banging cut up jeans. I got this sports apparel. I got these fire sneakers. And the last thing before I mailed my packet off, I was like, I don't know why I got these like purple jeans. But let me just throw them in there.
Oh my gosh. What were your pants going to be? What was your,
I had these like cut up, like, you know, my signature look is like, my knees cut out. So I had like some bluish, like blue wash denim cut up jeans. And then I think I sent in some like army fatigue, but they weren't like the traditional army fatigue color. They were, like a blue grayish army fatigue. They had like pockets. They was cute. I still have them, but and so I remember thinking when I sent the outfits out, and this probably was like my first indication, I was like, talked to my mom, and I was like, I just honestly just threw the purple in, like I had no anything, but I remember thinking like, if my cut-up jeans come back and then these camouflage jeans come back, I have an idea of the type of person that they have in mind for me. And sure enough, Mm-hmm. You know, they were like, hey, we sent the things that we did not use back. And I'll never forget, because I was like using my mom's address at the time to get the stuff because, you know, it was a little safer to have packages sent there. And I like got off of work. I ran to my mom's house because I was just like, oh, God, before I went to the gym because, you know, baby boy was trying to like, you know, be out there.
Yeah,
and
yeah.
I opened it up and like, I don't know why my heart dropped a little bit because I was just like, ugh.
Mm. It sounds like what you're saying is there was a look that felt like you and you're saying like it became clear like it was not going to be you as you would pick yourself, right?
1,000%. Clearly in that moment saw that they wanted a, dare I say, a troop of myself. And again, like everything in my life, I don't utilize that to say, you know, I have a podcast called The Purple Pants Pod. I embrace it because they are iconic at this point. However, that wasn't necessarily indicative of myself at that time. And yeah, just again, I just felt like all of these things were kind of sort of like leading up that I had no one to talk to about. I had like, you know, my family is a very Black family. They don't necessarily watch Survivor. I can't really get any insight from them. They think that I'm crazy to do this. But like, you know, I'm feeling these feelings and I'm just like, oh, how is this going to work out for you, baby boy?
Right. No, I totally get that. And I'm like, I feel like this idea of like the clothing, right, is really so essential. And especially I feel like, you know, as like part of like queer identity is often is like reflected in clothing. Right. And then you're thinking about how am I going to reflect myself on Survivor? And the only thing you have to bring with you are these clothes that you don't obviously get full control over what they are. And like, I feel like, yeah, for me, you know, because in my casting and stuff, I obviously rocked a bow tie. Right. Because that's just a look I love. And when that was paired with, you know, who I am and like a scientist, blah, 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 there was, I think, some vibe among that maybe I would be wearing like a tweed jacket and like, or like a sweater vest. And it would be like, well, you got a bow tie. So you're like a nerd. You know what I mean? And it's like, no, I have a bow tie. I'm queer. You know what I mean? Like, it's a different thing, you know? And I feel very grateful that, I mean, actually like my partner, Carmel, who I am very lucky. I mean, you love Carmel. That's a love affair that the people should know. Bryce and Carmel. A match made in heaven. But she very much was like, you want to look like you, you know what I mean? And like, don't give any options that won't feel like you or won't look like you, you know? And I'm so blessed for that. And it's tricky because you want to just like appease everyone. And like, you know, the purple pants look freaking great. But if it's stuff you are on a foot of not feeling like you, you know, that's so rough.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And again, I think it just leads a lot to the culture and the society that we are in, like you were speaking at work, where we don't want to rock the boat. We don't want to, at times, we don't want to speak up because we already feel othered. And especially going into this situation, I wanted to be the perfect candidate that you give me a timeline. I send it in. And there is no pushback because I don't want to be seen as, oh, high maintenance. Like, you know, so yeah, there is a part of my realm and my being that appeases people. And that's just a personality trait. And often I think because of the person that I am, as hard as it may sound, I like to blend in at times when I'm in uncomfortable spaces. I don't want to, like, I just rather, cause you know, I'm from Philadelphia for my own safety. Honestly, like, you know, I don't want to, I just like to be, let me scope the place out and then I can transform, when I know that it is a safe and, a comfortable space. And so I think that, again, throughout the casting process and even filming, I think that you got the shell of Bryce Isaiah and not really the actual person that is Bryce Isaiah.
Right. Yeah, that just makes me think, when you got there on the beach with your tribe, like, did you just say, like, did you ever, like, come out to them explicitly or was it just kind of, like, implied?
I think it was very much implied. And, yeah, so we were on the boat and, you know, we coming in, baby, we was on that boat for about 3 hours.
Yeah, I know.
You know how it is. And another thing that always I'd never forget, like my heart dropped, was like LJ and Jeremiah having conversations, having little like brofists. And I'm just like,
during like lockdown,
vibes. During lockdown, or just like, you know, just them being two white men seeing two white men. I'm just calling think a thing. And they were sitting back there and they were throwing it up. And I kept being like,
hey guys.
You know, just was very, just very apparent that before we were even allowed to talk, that they had a thing going on. And I can go even further on Ponderosa, before, you know, pregame, you know, we have to like sleep in tents. Yours, I hear, was a little different.
We were in tents in pregame. It was just, there was a quarantine. Then we did tents. We had it all. We had it all.
So we skipped the quarantine part, but we definitely were intense. And you know what it's like to sit under that pavilion all day. You can't talk. But there are routines. You know what I mean? Like you sit where you sit, near people that you sit. And I felt as though I was in a good position in pregame because I feel like I sat next to Sarah Lucina every morning. We would get our coffee. We would be like, you know, Tasha Fox sat, you know, across from me at another table, got good vibes from her. Tony didn't really talk to anybody, but Alexis and Jeffra and LJ and Jeremiah, they all sat like across from me. And again, I just say all of this to say that I was so nervous. Like, you know, they say you can't talk, you can't do anything. So like, you know, I would, you know, try to be as friendly as possible, but at the same time, feeling like I don't belong here. When we were in LA and they came and got me from my hotel room and we like came to the lobby and we got to see the cast. And I look at Cliff Robinson, rest his soul, his behind 7'7". I'm just like, oh my God. Then I look over and I see a Garrett who's like jacked. Then I see a Woo who is just like the cutest thing I've ever just seen in my life. And I just felt like I did not belong. I honestly felt like, you know, I did not belong here. I was like, oh my God, what am I doing on this season? And so I feel like I carried those feelings over into pregame. And when we were like sitting at those tables and, you know, like I said, like I am a black man from Philadelphia. I have to fill my surroundings out. If I feel like it is not a safe space for me to be myself, I will not be myself. I will be quiet. And like, you know, and so in Ponderosa, it was very much giving for me, like I didn't belong and I was uncomfortable. And so I tried in my mind, I thought that I was friendly. What I think so interesting enough is that outside of the game and talking with everyone, that Jeffra, LJ and Alexis all felt as though they tried to interact with me during that time and that I was cold and cut off to them. So, I mean, again, like, I just think that is, but at the same time, when I talked to Sarah Lucina, she like, bitch, I was hoping you would be on my, like, you know what I mean? And again, I just, it just is just so interesting because so much of the game that they try not to make it, but it is people's unconscious bias of like what they think of you from what they already have in their head. And no one likes to talk about it, you know, of the fear of them being like, oh, you're seen as racist. No, I don't think that that's racist. I have unconscious bias myself. I judge like, you know, but I think it's important to talk about it because I feel like a lot of my game was sunk in Ponderosa when I was sitting there feeling unlike, and again, I also think that, sorry, I'll be keep talking, but I just also think it's just the truth in my life is that I am sitting somewhere feeling uncomfortable, feeling like I do not belong here, and just trying to survive and make it through. And yet to others, they feel like I'm being nasty. I'm being cold. I wasn't being friendly. I wasn't being warm. And it's like, well, damn.
Right. And like what you said about unconscious bias, like it's not that like those people are being like, oh, I don't like you because you're gay, because you're black, but it's all the elements that are also leading both their unconscious bias, both the setup and society and the microcosm of society that you are in that make you feel uncomfortable, that make you feel othered, that then lead into how you're acting. And it all just like builds on top of each other to like exclude you, basically.
Right.
Right. Right. Yeah. Yeah. And it really brings me, when you reflect on that, I was thinking just how fortunate I was in my experience, like the first person in, so we got to LA and we were in LA before we flew to Fiji and got COVID tested and everything like that in LA. And the first person who, like, you know, we're in this hotel and you don't 100% know who's another survivor person, but you're like, yeah. And the first person who I felt like very confident was Jeannie. I saw Jeannie, and again, it's like mask on and everything, so you really can't do very much at this time. But I was just like, I think that's another queer person, you know, like, and like how freaking, it's so freaking different, you know, when you don't feel like you're the only one versus when you do feel like you're the only one, right?
1,000%. Or what that could have even done to your morale in that moment of feeling like, I gotta carry this burden on my back, and just to even think that there could be another one just could, like,
right. And I was thinking, I was like, I feel fortunate, and then it's like, oh wait, it's not just luck, it's like literally like the hard work of so many people, like especially you, in pushing like for diversity in casting, both racial diversity but also in other forms of identity, including like LGBTQIA+. Like, you literally made that experience like 1,000% better for me and for all the other like future players who come. And I think like it sucks so much that your experience was so hampered by that, but it's like so freaking like beautiful and touching what you've done since then.
And again, I feel I am a true believer that everything happens for a reason, and I am a true believer that the experience that I go through, and again, my mom always tells me to leave something better than you found it. And if the reason is that I went through what I went through to be able to sit here and talk to you, babe, I will go back and do it 1,000 times, because I feel like that is life. That is how change happens. That is how people are aware. And so just like your season. And again, I think that this is something that you and I share. I'm a crybaby. I tell it to everybody. But like, you know, there were so many times on your season, seeing you, like, and mind you, I'm getting teary-eyed right now, but like seeing you win individual, like, immunity. I think that day we called, it's just a beautiful thing. And I think that at times people don't know what it is like to like cheer for somebody that you know that knows your experience, that knows, like, and you know, to just see that. And like, although we are in this community, we are very different. We are very, but like, I feel like you get a little bit of something that I know, and I get a little bit of something that you know, and that's all that it matters for us. And just to see you, I don't know what it was about that, but just seeing you be that challenge beast and seeing you in that way, for me, just made me feel like I could do anything. And so, and I can only imagine to somebody else out there that is non-binary or that can identify a little bit more with the walk of your life, what that could have been like to see you, because I know what it was in my experience. And so, yeah, it's amazing.
I love you so much, Bryce. You're so nice. But I mean, it's really that, I mean, I've always said this, like it's so good for the show to have this diversity, because it just makes fans like, so like, you know, the you watching it, like both as like a past player, but also as like a fan of the show, like when you can have someone to cheer for, that makes you like so excited because they represent like a piece of you. Like it just makes it just broadens the base of the show, right? So much, and makes it so much more like accessible and exciting for more people. Right. Yeah. And I want people, I do want to just to expand on that story a little bit, like, so people know. So, you know, so first of all, it was so cool because Ricard won the first individual immunity and then me, and then you, and you had posted about it, you know, like the first two individual immunities, LGBTQ+ players, like, how sick is that? And then you and I were like texting a little bit, and I obviously knew that the next episode I went home, right? And so I was like feeling very, very emotional that day. You know, I'm like coming home from work. I'm at the bus stop, like ready to like go home. And like, I know I'm going to watch the episode where I'm like voted out. And you had texted me something like that day, I think, about just like how much it meant to you and like how cool it was. And then we just like had a quick phone call. I was literally at the bus stop. It's like probably like 7 p.m. before the episode airs, you know? And I just like literally like just to hear from you, like, and I think this is the cool, like, it sucks how in hearing your experience, like how kind of alone you felt in it, right? And I feel like it's really amazing now we've come to a point where there have been so many LGBTQIA plus players on Survivor, and there's like more and more, you know, every season now, where like I got to talk to like someone who I really looked up to, you, you know, I'm like, Bryce Isaiah, like purple pants God, you know, is calling me to tell me that it was cool that I won immunity. And it just made me feel like literally that night I knew I was going home, and it was like, you telling to me like how it felt to see me, like made me feel like, okay, this was good. You know what I mean? Like it was a good experience, and like it was solidified in that, you know what I mean?
Yeah. And I when we talked about it afterwards, it just made so much more sense because, like, you know,
I was crying.
Yeah, I was crying too. And I felt bad. I was like, well, I mean to call to make you cry, but I felt the need to just give you your flowers. And I didn't get a chance to call you before. And you know how life goes. But in knowing that clearly the episode was yours, it just makes more sense. But in that moment, I was just like, yeah, we just got each other. We see each other. And it was just a great thing to experience. And again, something that I did not get a chance to experience on my end, on my season. I got reached out to nobody. And again, I don't say that to say that as a slight. I say that to say why I am I don't necessarily consider myself a past player. I like to consider myself a fan that has VIP access, and which is why I always try to lead with love. Mm-hmm. And I always try to the things that I feel as though could have helped me or during my experience. I try to give to others, and which is why I'm so big on just bigging people up, because I know what the experience is like. And I know at times it could feel like a very lonely road. And so I think that it is important to do that, not just because we are family, but I just think that it's good practice.
Totally. Totally. And I was gonna, so in the airing of your season, was it like, I'm trying to, cause I became a Survivor fan only like in the past like 5 years. So like your season, I did not watch live. Like at the time was, I don't know what the social media landscape per se was for your season, but like, were people like standing you, like was there like, you know what I mean, was there an element of that, or was it, did you feel like very like, you know what I mean, how did was the airing experience similar to the filming, or like was that?
Yeah, a little bit of both. I feel like, you know, the rules of social media have changed. Mm-hmm. They're a lot more restrictive with us, but I felt like I received love, but I received a lot of hate. Mm-hmm. A lot of hate. Mm-hmm. And but yeah, so I mean, yeah, I think it was similar to you, but maybe you on a much larger scale because you went a lot deeper in the game. But just the same thing. And
yeah, but I think I think in general, I do think like there's also a lot more hate directed towards players of color. Like I just think that's objectively true.
And especially in this new era of Survivor, that you know some of the demographics of Survivor just are can't stand it. It's the worst thing ever. But I thought y'all said y'all wasn't watching at the 41, but y'all seem to still be watching at 42. So they must be doing something right. And just to touch on another point that which I think is great, that of course we are getting more diversity. We're getting more diversity in our community. Mm-hmm. But again, what I think Survivor as a whole misses the mark on is, you know, I'm out here in these streets with Bryce and Wynn Presents, and I've always been in the community. I felt as though I just never get, and now this might be shade, but I just never get the big players that get their names off of these Survivors. But then it's like, y'all don't even acknowledge, or y'all don't even, but anyway, that ain't never been my motto. I'm in the streets. I'm in the gutters. I'm with the people. And I find it always so interesting whenever I go to any Survivor event, whenever I go to just anywhere, the amount of the LGBTQ plus community that watches the show, I sometimes ask myself, I really wonder if the higher ups of Survivor know that.
Right. I mean, it is wild. And like, I feel like in the airing of the show of my season, you know, obviously I felt like, okay, well, this is mostly just like, this is my DMs, this is my mentions. Like, of course, it's like the queer people, it's the LGBTQIA plus people. But then like going to New York with the live Know-It-Alls event, with the Bryce and Wen event that we were at a few weeks ago, like there are just so many LGBTQIA plus fans of the show. And like, it was so cool. I was like, you know what I mean? I didn't exactly know what to expect from the event. And like looking around the room, it's like, where is this bar all the time? Like, you know what I mean? Like, how do I get to like hang out with this demographic of people all the time? Like, it really felt like it's so big, you know what I mean? And that's, you know, like it's so big. And I think, yeah, it's some, you can think of like, oh, what are Survivor fans like? And maybe the stereotype would be like, oh, it's like white Southern straight people. And it's like, what are you talking about?
Right. Like, where are y'all at?
Yeah,
because I've never met you in person. Like it's truly groundbreaking. And again, I've been in this game for about 8 years now, and that is every city, every place that I have gone, our community shows up, and I just am like, why? I don't know. I can't explain the reason. And again, which is why when we were in our meetings with CBS, why I could not be silenced, and I could not just go in that meeting and be a black man, because that's not my identity. I'm a black gay man, and I have to speak to what I know and what I see. And I'm confused as to, yes, we need more people of color, but not just black people of color. Mm-hmm. We need more, you know, Jewish. We need more Muslim. We need more like everything. And also we need more representation of the gay community. I'm mm-hmm. confused at it. And again, I am blessed that we are able to have had two trans players in play Survivor. But again, and this is no shade, no nothing, because I love Zeke, that my baby, and I love Jax. I've never had the opportunity to meet him, but I know that when I do, it's going to be amazing. But I just feel like for me, it is just very telling to have the same archetype mm-hmm. of a trans player. And then when you think of in reality and you think of the trans community and you mm-hmm. think of when you think of trans community and you think of the trans that are getting killed at an astronomical rate, yeah. when you think of the trans women that have to go into sex work to survive because they cannot assimilate into a community when they are killed mm-hmm. and their cases go unsolved. Mm-hmm. I just implore and I hope and pray and that Survivor knows the importance of, yes, the trans community is a wide community, but it just doesn't, the buck does not stop at female to male white mm-hmm. trans men. There mm-hmm. is a vast community. And I am waiting for the day that we get to see a black trans sister out there.
Yeah.
We get to see it. Like, you know, I just think that is a missed opportunity. And you always use my platform to talk about my black trans sisters, because they are, you feel as though my experience right. Is marginalized. Yeah, it's a slippery slope. And yeah. it also leads me to believe or leads me to this subject of the LGBTQ plus community.
Yes.
I think that it is an amazing. I think that it is great. But at times I feel like, and I'm going to be honest because I'm talking with you. Mm-hmm. I feel like a hypocrite because mm-hmm. I feel like I am not a part of the community. I don't feel as though me as a black gay man fits into the community. I feel like the community, and I'm just saying how I feel, and I'm meaning to offend anyone. I'm just saying my perspective, but I feel it is a very white community, and they do not like to acknowledge, or they do not like to make others feel welcomed. And if they do make others feel welcome, it is when others conform to the white typical type of community that they are. And this has always been my struggle with the LGBTQ plus community, is that like I don't feel like it is welcoming. And there are the fact that there has to be a Black gay pride, I think, says a lot.
Right.
And there is a, as much as we talk about diversity and as much as we talk about changing things, and of course this, the LGBTQ plus community, or even the gay community, it is such a respected community. Like, you know, you can't talk about the gays, you can't, like, but you know, when you dive a little deeper into that, why is that? And is it because the face of it are white affluent men? And where does the Black, where does the brown, where does the other assimilate into that? And I think that as we are celebrating this month, I am again happy to celebrate, but I am calling the community in to do better in regards to integrating and in regards to making others feel heard and seen. I believe 2 years ago in Philadelphia, we rolled out, I think, this flag that is the background that has the trans, that has the Black, that has the brown, and the community was in an uproar. You go to every major city in the United States, they all have a gay community, but they're all white. And when I, and let me just be clear, every major city, I'm sure they have the Black, the brown communities. But what I am saying is that the major area in every area of the city that is the gay area, the clubs, the this, they are, they all look the same. And I, for me, and again, this is where I struggle with intersectionality. It's like, well, okay, I want to be gay, but I'm Black. So, like, is it a problem for me being Black and gay? Like, is it a problem for me wanting to be a little, like, it's just, and again, I have friends that ask me to go out all the time. And like, yeah, it's like, but I don't, and it sucks, but I'm going to say this because I feel like I was just literally watching a show called Pause with Sam J on HBO Max and the second season. And I encourage any person of color or any like person of like in our community to watch that episode, because it really like just justified a lot of the things that at times, and I feel more safer at a heterosexual Black club than I feel, I shouldn't say safer, comfortable, than I feel in an LGBTQ plus, like, you know, predominantly white club, because it's just a, it's a thing. And I don't think that we talk about it enough. And I just want to use this month of celebration to just bring this topic up of just saying that, yes, our community that we champion is great, but I think that we have to do better. And I think it's even in the inception of this community where trans women were at the forefront.
Literally. And specifically Black trans women also. Yes.
Yeah, like let's not forget that. But yet our trans sisters were pushed to the side. Why? Because they could not be seen as the forefront of a movement. Why? Well, why couldn't they be seen as the forefront of the movement? They're the ones risking their lives. They're the ones dying. So I just, I'd be having to calm down, because I just, like, I don't know why my trans sisters, I don't play about them. I have friends who are practically some of my brothers, some of my sisters, like, you know, are in the trans community. And I feel like at times I am othered, and, you know, and when I'm with them, I feel like I have a privilege. And I just do not play about our trans community. And I don't think that we talk enough. And of course we have our celebrities, we have this and that, but I honestly don't think that we talk enough to the real trans people that live and walk the lives every day. But I was just saying that, you know, our trans sisters were at the forefront. You know, yes, our Black trans sisters are our white trans sisters, but they were at the forefront of this, and they were moved to the side because they could not be seen as leading the community. Mm-hmm. And it had to be a, you know, a white man, because they can assimilate into the heteronormity of, you know, all of this. And then again, because now you got me spicy. Then I think about the gay survivors that have won Survivor.
Right.
And I think of the archetype of them, and, you know, are white men that can assimilate into society, and, you know, or even other queer players that have made it far, they can be of different background, but, you know, they assimilate into different types of things. However, why is it that there is a trend that you can document that Black gay men go out third in the game, or that, like, Black gay people of color players do not get the same credit as our counterparts to our others? Like, and here's another thing that I will not sign up for. This Romeo is a goat. Romeo is a this. Yeah. Romeo. No, I will not sign up for that at all, because you do not know what it is to walk in his shoe, and you do not know what the things are. Like, but again, it transcends. And there was a article written, maybe I think during the pandemic, where it was like the most influential LGBTQ plus players. Influential, you know, not the most dot, like, you know, influential.
Right.
And and I didn't think anything of it, but, you know, my Purple Pants posse, they don't play about your baby boy. And sir, a lot of people sent it to me and they were like, I can't believe that you would not make this list. And I was astonished at the list that they had cultivated. And again, a lot of they were past players, like, you know, years ago, that aren't even in the community. And I'm not saying that, oh, I am the type of person where I feel like, oh, I need to be in here and I need to be seen. But I am just saying that, like, you know, as the first openly gay Black player to play the game, and, you know, to be so active in the community, what an oversight. And I, you know, just happened to tweet it out when I just said, And again, I feel like in the awakening of the civil unrest in our country with the George Floyd, and for this list to be cultivated and essentially it be all white. I just, like, you know, I just tweeted a little tweet, and baby, the Twitter universe, it did its job. And of course the editor, I have no idea, no oversight. But anyway, I just, again, there's a theme that happens a lot, and I just want to be able to use my platform. And I think the more comfortable that I get with myself, the more that I can allow my real feelings to come through, and to speak about things that, for me personally, again, I can only speak for myself, but that really motivate me, or really that the change that I would like to see in this community. And not to say that I just think that it needs to be Black, there needs to be more representation of non-binary, like, you know, like, this isn't, and again, I don't play about my non-binary people, because I feel like, and I no honestly though, I like the fact that we have words now to utilize. Everyone is like, oh my God, this agenda. But let me just ask y'all all a question. How many of you, and I am by no means am I being disrespectful, but I personally have an aunt that we call Jimmy. And I feel like, you know what I mean? Like, this is not new.
Right.
But, you know, and again, that we have called her Aunt Jimmy for the longest time. And that's just how she uses she pronouns. But in my opinion, and I feel like they are from a certain time,
it's a generational thing. Yeah.
That, but by all means, you know what I mean? Like, this is not a new thing. And I just feel like there needs to be more representation of that. There is just, Evie, you got me hot. Okay. I'm sweating.
Oh man. Bryce, thank you. Like, I'm just want to say just so much. Like, I just am so, like, when I think of influential Survivor players, like, you are truly right at the top, because, like, like everything that you're saying right now. And it's things that you're saying and bringing a platform to, and like, I want to co-sign and retweet and everything that you're saying, particularly about more trans representation, more Black trans representation, more Black women, trans women representation, non-binary people, every single thing that you're saying, I want to co-sign, retweet, et cetera. But I think you are the, what makes you so awesome is that you will say these things, you will use your platform, and you're like freaking doing the work. Like you're also like in the meetings and like standing up for this in the diversity casting initiative and like meeting with CBS and like all these things. And I think it's easy to say like things have gotten better now and therefore that's good enough, because like look how cool these last two casts have been, but we absolutely can't leave it here. Like this is not the end. Things have gotten better. Like that's definitely true, but that doesn't mean that it's perfect or we're done or everything. And I just want to appreciate you for like all the fighting that you've done and that are you are doing. And like, yeah, the work absolutely continues. And I think like sometimes in discussions of like pride, like it can get very diluted down to like parade and like, you know, don't even get me started on like Citibank and like all these companies like putting a rainbow on stuff and like calling, you know, don't even get me started on that. But like pride is a celebration, but it's also like in action, and it's like in the, and it remembers a time of like rebellion and like action and movement. And like, I just really appreciate you bringing that into this conversation, because like that's what we need to be doing.
Absolutely. But again, it for me, it speaks, it's in my fibers. It's a like I don't just talk this life. Like I, you know, and some people are always like, oh, why do you always have to say you're a gay Black man? Because that's who the I am.
Right.
That runs through my mind every day when I am going into different situations. When I'm going into a bank, I am a Black man. When I am right. going into the Black community, I am like, there are like, that's who I am. And there is a time of young Brycey that I never thought that there would be a day that I would say openly that I'm a gay man. Like, you know, and so I also say it so much because I have to remind myself that I am at a point in my life where I love myself or am on a road to love myself, because growing up, I thought that I could never love myself because I am living my life this way. So one, that's why I scream it. And if you don't like it, get used to it. And I think, again, with Survivor, they've been on the right side of the curve. They are making the steps to do right. However, I feel like when we look at these trans bills that is going on mm-hmm. in the South, I think that Survivor needs to do better, or can mm-hmm. do better, and has the ability to do better, and has the ability to shed light. Because again, doesn't matter what type of trans person it is. Could you imagine if we had a trans winner on Survivor? Could you imagine? Now. And mm-hmm. and don't get me wrong, we have a Zeke, but look how we had to get a Zeke in a situation yeah. like that. Like, you know, why I applaud Zeke for going. I couldn't even imagine. But I feel like, you know, we love and respect Zeke, but how cool would it be to have a Black trans woman win? Right. And the walls that could break down from these Survivor players that could be like, oh my God, she played an idol nullifier, she's the best fight life ever. And then it's just like, oh, well, she's trans. Oh yeah, guess what? They're regular people too.
Right, right. And I think that is the coolest thing about having representation on a show like Survivor, where it is like this game. And like, ultimately that is like, like I feel like the difference between like when the cast comes out and you're just like, oh, this person like typecast. And then when the airing actually happens, and like you said, like obviously there's still discussion about people's identity and things like that, but it switches to like, yeah, we remember Zeke for these like, you know, identity things. We also remember like he made that crazy move. You know what right. I mean? Like he brought people to rocks. You know what I mean? Like, and like that's what we're trying to do here, right? Is, you know, have more and more people get to see themselves in people that humanize can go out there and be badass Survivor players and, you know, people in the world. And like, yeah, we like, you know, it's gotten better, but it's certainly not done.
Right. There is still a lot of work to do. And I do feel like Survivor will be on for a very long time. And mm-hmm. I feel like they have the the power. And I don't know if they realize it or not. Mm-hmm. And again, I can only know that I did my part in whatever that I could do to bring awareness to it. And we have seen the fruit of that. But I mean, well, let's plant more mother seeds, because I like to see a lot more fruit of that in that same realm. And again, I just think it just makes for better television.
Yeah.
And I just also think that the audience of Survivor is vast, but there is a large like community of like the LGBTQ plus community. And I think that like serve the people that serve you. Like, yeah. You know, why are you serving this demographic that like, I just, for me, that's always what is so troubling, is that like, okay, yeah, you have this one demographic, you know, that watched it, they let this survivor, but okay, well, times change.
Yeah.
And you have a new avenue to open up and to speak to. But again, I don't always like to make things negative, and I don't want to end, but like, they have done amazing work. And I think that we'll look back 10 years from now and be speaking of you in the history book, Evie. Like, I recently was watching The Real World, The Homecoming, New Orleans.
Mm.
And they're, it's good. I mean, it's good.
I've seen your tweets. You're making me want to get in on it.
It is, you know, there was this, and I think what is so special about The Real World, New Orleans is that that was one of the first real worlds that I watched in its entirety. And there is Melissa, who I realized that so much of Bryce Isaiah is Melissa from the show. But there also was this Danny, and he was a gay man from a small town and wasn't necessarily out to his parents. And, you know, he had a relationship with a man who was in the military. And at that time, mm-hmm. it was like the don't ask, don't tell. And I remember watching as a younger child and not really understanding the gravity of that. And I remember just thinking like, ooh, wait for God, sneak around. Like, ooh, how, like, you know, like just, you know. But then 22 years later, to be able to watch it and to actually like as a 30-year-old realize that this like lieutenant in the military, if it were found out that he was gay or dating this man, that he would be dishonorably discharged, that he would lose his pension, that like, you know, he could possibly lose his life. And in that moment, we didn't think about it like that. But here we are reflecting on it. And as much as things change, things,
I was about to say, like, it's coming right back, right? I mean, you have all these don't say gay bills and things like that. And we thought that don't ask, don't tell era was over, but you know, here we are. But anyway, right. Sorry, continue.
Oh, yeah. No, but just saying that, like, you know, we, but literally, and the fight that they were like broaching in that conversation, it just is crazy to see how much of like, how crazy it is to see now. And again, I don't think in the moment we could appreciate it. And I don't think, like for you, I don't think people can appreciate, I mean, I and others can, but I think the masses do not understand the levity of what a player like yourself did, doing, and will do. And I think that when we look back in from 10 years from now, hopefully we are at a lot has changed, but they will look to you and like, look at the groundbreaking work that you have done by just showing up as your full authentic self and not shying away from it.
Yeah. And I mean, and I want to plant a flag. Like, I feel like, you know, I planted seeds that I feel like we still need much better representation of non-binary people on Survivor. I mean, like, I really was coming into that identity while I was filming the show. And like, everyone on the show uses she, her pronouns for me, because that's what I was using for myself at the time. And like, it's honestly something that I can't like regret that, because that's just like what the truth of my life was. And like, that's just, you know, what happened, that it was like, while I was there, I like really realized it. And I made the pronoun change like after the filming. But I wish, I mean, the show needs someone who goes in there using they, them pronouns, and, you know, or, you know, whatever pronouns feel right to that person that are not, you know, just the typical binary. And like, that, how is the show going to do that? You know, like, to some degree, you know, there's very much, there's always, you know, three quote unquote men and three quote unquote women. And like, you know, this is a fixable problem, but it's definitely like, that's, you know, tricky for this show. And like, I absolutely like want to see that. Like, I feel confident that we will see that, but like, you know, I really hope that, you know, that I'm, you know, the first of so many and so many different types. I mean, non-binary, the cool thing about it is like, it's not even an umbrella. It's we're not binary, and it's like anything else that encompasses that. And like, so yeah, I think my look, my vibe is very much like, especially like a common, like white androgynous-y, like, you know, I joke all the time, like there, people are often DM me like, did I just see you in the airport? And it's like, nope, that's another person that's just got the same look. You know, like there's a lot of us who look like that, you know? And there's so many other types of non-binary people, you know? And so I just absolutely, absolutely want to see that on the show. And like, I think it will happen, but like, this is, yeah, we're planting seeds for the future, you know?
1,000%. But to just your point where I feel like I have to give you your flowers is that what I think the beautiful journey of your story is that people can see that they can come along with the journey. They can see the evolution. They can see the growth. They can see the change, and they can see on the show what you were using and now where you are at today. And you talking about that again, I think it is, I understand what you're saying where I wish they had like, but it, the butterfly, like, you know, like we get to see it and you get to live it and be it. And I think that for me, that is a powerful thing. And so I just to also, you know, cause I'm always lift you up. Like, no, I think that you, again, you showed up as yourself and guess what? That's how you showed up then. And how are you showing up now? And we all evolve. We all change. That should be the goal of life. To change, to know yourself more. The older that you get, even though I'm still in my 20s and I don't care what nobody say, the older that you get, the more comfortable you are with yourself, the more that you are willing to, you know, make a difference and make a change. And the more authentic you are speaks to the younger generation. And I am just amazed at how many people come up, reach out and just say that, you know, listening to you or hearing you or seeing you made me feel heard, made me feel. And I'm just like, really? We were at one event and there was this like very attractive man, like, you know, and not, I say that to say that he just was like, that was the first thing I noted about him. I was like, oh my God, look at this attractive man. I'm like, where is his girlfriend at? Where, who, like, you know, and he, here I am thinking he's here for Wendell. And like, you know, he was just like, I really wanted to meet you. And I was like, oh, thank you. And he was like, you know, listening to you helped me identify that I know that I am queer.
Yeah.
And I would have never in my, you know, and so again, I think that we do not know the power that we have. But again, it's just being authentic and going in your journey and like just sharing, I think is a, it could be a great thing. So I just like not going to let you slide with that. Like, no, your journey is beautiful and people see it and recognize it. And we evolve. We are caterpillars to butterflies. And so like, you know, just, I big you up.
No, I appreciate that so much. And it's honestly, I feel like I'm noticing like that's like, it's like a little insecurity I have. And it's like, it's something I had in my own, like coming out as queer experience. Also, like I was like 20, 23, 24. And I was like, I'm so old to have realized this about myself. And now I'm 29 and I'm like, oh my God, I thought I was old. Like, you know, it's like, you know? And so like for anyone out there, no matter how old, you know, no matter where you are in your life, like it's never too late to like realize these things about yourself and to, you know, evolve and be yourself. Like that is the most amazing, beautiful thing. So yeah. Yes. Wow, Bryce. I feel like we covered a lot of ground here.
I apologize. I just be, when never it come apologize. Up, I be like, bruh.
So. No, this is absolutely amazing. And this is like more than I could have ever dreamed for, honestly, for where this interview went. And I'm just so, so grateful that you agreed to do this and have this conversation because like, you're such an important voice. And I'm so excited to see all the new people that will come into the community because of the work that you're done and the work that you're doing and still doing. And let's all sign up to be part of the Purple Pants Posse and we can, you know, be part of the work together, you know?
Yes, yes, yes. And thank you, Evie, for, you know, being a part of the community and doing this and doing what you are doing. It matters. And I feel like I walked so that you could run.
Yeah.
And, you know, I truly hope that, you know, the next era. They are flying, and we get free buddy passes with them so that we can fly with them. But yeah, no, I feel like it's a group effort, and I see the torch that you carry, and I see the... Another thing that I admire so much about you is that your commitment to the community. Mm-hmm. You know, just as a player, as a queer person, just your commitment to the community and the authenticness of it, I think is a rarity. And I am happy to be in this space with you. I'm truly honored. Never would I imagine, you know, when I was voted out in Kagyan, would I ever be here with a challenge beast? Okay. You made the merge. I never wanted to win Survivor. I just wanted to make merge and eat the merge feast. Like, you know, but never would I imagine that I would be literally be able to talk to a living legend and not a living legend interviewing me about my experience. It's full circle. It's crazy. So I just appreciate you for continuing the torch.
Ugh, Bryce, if anyone's ever having a bad day, you got to talk to Bryce because he'll build you straight up. No, but seriously, I appreciate everything you're saying. And it's literally from examples like people like you, right? And that's how we know how to like be in the community. So I love you and I'm happy to pass it on to more people, you know, like.
That's what it's about. It's about learning, caring, loving, and, you know, continuing this, whatever this is, whatever this might be for you, but it is just like moving it forward and just being yourself. So yes, I'm truly honored. Thank you.
You're the best. Bryce, do you have anything to plug? What's going on with you coming up?
I mean, you know, just the Purple Pants podcast is popping every Tuesday. I know P-Valley is getting ready to come out. So we are covering P-Valley, Chappelle and Sharia Lloyd from Survivor. And yeah, you know, I know that 43 will start soon. Yeah. 42 is coming to an end. So, you know, stay tuned to see for the Purple Pants podcast Survivor News exit interviews who, you know, they is knocking at the door. But yeah, no, just if you enjoy my voice and enjoy my perspective on things, that's honestly what the Purple Pants podcast is. I can't tell you what an episode will be about, but it will always come from this perspective, always come from, you know, critical thinking, from a place of love, from a place of growth. I'm on a journey to a better Bryce, and at times I lose gas and gotta walk to go get gas, but I always come back, and yeah, I'm just excited. So thank you so much for supporting the Purple Pants podcast, Issa.
And I just to add to your plug, like if you're ever looking for a place to like learn about stuff and like you said, like hear this like critical thinking and hear like amazing perspectives on what's happening in Survivor, in the world, everything, and it's somehow also a super fun podcast. You know what I mean? Like you are so special. And I really feel like it's such a, what's the word? Like a comfortable entry point for people, you know, like, cause it's fun and it's Survivor and it's super deep and like amazing and thoughtful and thought provoking and everything. And Bryce is amazing. And just, everyone should know it, you know?
I feel like we should just go back and forth with compliments because I just like, you know, but no, I appreciate you so much, Evie. Yeah. It's truly, honored to be here talking with you.
Yeah, well, I love you and thank you so much for being here.
All right, we're back. Evie, that was great. That was so fun. Bryce is the best.
Yes, Evie,
Bryce
you're amazing.
Is the absolute best. thank you. My first time being the interviewer, and I couldn't have asked for a better guest. So grateful to Bryce.
Yeah, I think it's like there's so much. There was so much there. Like Grace, what kind of jumped out to you in the conversation?
Yeah, I mean Bryce has probably told the story before, and I probably have remembered and then just listened to so many hours of Bryce that I forgot. But the idea that like Bryce never really wanted to wear purple pants just like blew my mind.
That's wild.
And that I think it's such a perfect example. It's an encapsulation of his entire Survivor experience that like it wasn't the best and Bryce just made the most of it. And you know, now is the purple pants badass, you know? I just think that's like such a phenomenal, like, he's just phenomenal. The way he can like turn, you know, something that's like not so great into something that ends up being great and being willing to speak about it. And I loved the, you know, the two of you have been chatting about like how much like clothing and identity like plays into, you know, it's queerness, right? Like it's, you know, literally like gender identity, you know? So I thought there was like, what a really fun interview. Yeah.
Yeah. And I would just add, I love this bigger, the bigger conversation even about like this community and what that means to different people. And I especially resonated with what Bryce was just saying as like, as a Black person, just with this feeling of not feeling like part of the community at times. And I think that's an important conversation and something I hope that more people think about is that, you know, there are times where just like in, you know, in hetero communities with the straights, you know, like we could also feel othered for our identities or other things. Like this also happens within the queer community. And so I like that Bryce was really shining a light on that. And I even just loved how Bryce was like pointing to the flag in the background of this video, really, with the trans colors, the Black, brown, and, you know, our pride colors, and just how we really need to think about folks in all of those communities as we think about what pride means. Because I mean, like, if we're not doing that, then we're not bringing everyone along and truly celebrating. And so I love that from Bryce. I love Bryce in general. I just want to say that again.
Yeah. Yeah. I think the biggest thing, it's, yeah, we're celebrating, and pride is very much like a celebration of action, you know, yeah. And of like working to be like, to make society better and make society freer and more just. And like, the work is not done at all. And there needs to be more inclusion, like both obviously in Survivor, but in the world in general. And so, yeah, I feel like Bryce definitely like, he agitated me in the best way, you know, to like keep working and keep trying to build better communities and things. So, yeah, he's just the best.
Cool. Let us know what you think. Shout out LGBTQ survivors. That meant a lot to you. Hashtag the pride has spoken. Don't forget, you can buy t-shirts on the store. We should probably give the actual store.
As you pull that up, one thing I'd even mention is like, as people tweet using the hashtag the pride has spoken, like also use hashtag survivor. That just kind of like gets, that will get the conversation into places beyond even this RHAP community. Heck, throw in hashtag RHAP too while you're at it. But like hashtag the pride has spoken, hashtag survivor, hashtag RHAP, just to get more people in the conversation and like let them know that this is a conversation that they should be tuning into and part of.
So the merch website link at URL is a little weird. So just go to robinswebsite.com and then click the merch button and you'll be able to find the shirt there. I think if you search the pride has spoken. So
yeah. And I was going to say, we can include it in the show notes too, to make it easy. I don't know if there's anything else super helpful in the show notes, but check those out. You never know. They're always helpful.
We'll put gender benders information in there as well. If you want to check them out. Of course, that's the organization. We will be donating the proceeds of the merch sales, to Matt, if people want to, you know, along with hashtag the pride has spoken and hashtag survivor and at RHAP, if they want to chat with you, but where can people find you?
Oh my gosh. Well, they could find me especially on Twitter at Matt Scott GW. I'm like active there, but I'm Matt Scott GW on all of the platforms. And I would also just love to point to some of the different podcasts I'm doing. So I co-host the Wrestling Rehab Up, which Grace has been on many times with the one and only Mari Forth. So you could check that out. I mentioned at the top of this episode, Pod Friends, which is back for season two. Woo, 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 woo. Exciting guests. Actually, the conversation with T-Bird is coming out as the premiere of season two, and some other exciting conversations coming out this month. A lot of conversations with queer people in the RHAP community to kind of complement this. And I won't spoil who's actually, you know what? I'll just say it. Grace is going to be on the episode. Yeah. So I'm excited for that. And I will definitely shout that out and plug that when we, before that comes out, right before that comes out. And other than that, I'm here and I'm excited to be here and thrilled to be here with you two. Where could the people find, I don't know, Evie, where could people find you?
Yeah, you can find me on Twitter, Instagram, TikTok, at Evie Jagoda, E-V-V-I-E. I'm out there doing things. I don't know what I'm tweeting about right now, now that Survivor's over, but you know, probably something. And you can also, I'm on Cameo and Memo. And yeah, if you want a little private little chat with me, you know, a one-way chat, you know, you can do those there. And I think they're really fun. And I especially love making those for queer Survivor fans. So
yeah,
feel free to check those out.
Yeah.
Cool. I am on Twitter at Hi From Grace. I won't shout out all the things I'm doing, but I do want to point out Matt and I did a podcast series called, we covered a scripted show called Heartstopper, and it is such an adorable LGBTQ rom-com that was on Netflix. It's delightful. It's so cute. Mm-hmm. It's the best. I wish it was around when I was like a teen. So we covered that 8 episodes, like they're like 25 minutes. Not our podcasts go an hour, but the TV show is 25 minutes, and it just got renewed for 2 more seasons. So Matt and I, job security, it's great. So I'll
put that out.
Yeah, so I'm on Twitter at Hi From Grace. We'll be back next week. Abby, I'm very excited about the interviews that we have for next
me
week.
Too,
you want to hype them up?
Absolutely. Yeah. Next week on The Pride Has Spoken, you will be able to hear my wonderful, amazing conversations with none other than Zeke and Lyrsa. So jam-packed, amazing, amazing episode with two just wonderful people. So very, very
icons.
Excited for this.
Icons.
So fun. I am excited. So that's what we have in store next week. Until then, see you around. Bye-bye.
Bye.